Welcome to the Life Church STL podcast. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope this message encourages and inspires you. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
This morning, I want to just go back for just a second and talk about last week. And last week we talked about the Israelites. Israel, they had been in the wilderness and came to the edge of the promised land. And God told them to go scout out the land. And of course, when they went in, most of the scouts, they were scared instead of being secure. They were scared that they weren't going to be enough. They weren't secure in who God was. They weren't secure in his strength. They didn't trust him and have faith and believe who he was and that he was going to take care of them. And that's really the gist of last week's message. And today I want to do, if you will, a prequel to that message. It's funny, you know, so many movies nowadays are like, let's tell a story, and oh, the next movie is like, let's go back and tell before that story. So that's what I'm going to do today, okay? You guys good? So now it's cool. Because the movies do it. But I want to read this scripture here. In that time that they were in the promised land first and then go back. And in Numbers 14:10, it says, and all the congregation said to stone them with stones. This is Joshua and Caleb. They came and said, no, we can take this land. They're big, but God is bigger. Let's go. And the people didn't believe that they could do it. So they're saying to stone them. And it says, now the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of meeting before all the children of Israel. God's just like, hey, I'm here. He shows up right in front of all the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, how long will these people reject me? And how long will they not believe me with all the signs which I have performed among them? So my question today, and we're going to go back and look at what happened before this moment. My question today is, will we believe him? Will we trust him? Will we have faith in him? And really, the gist of what I'm going to talk about today, will we remember who he is and what he's done? Will we remember the things that he's done in our family, the things that he's done in our lives, those wonderful, gracious things that he's done for us that have actually allowed us to be here? Because we can't kid ourselves. The reason that we are here is because of him. The reason that we can come into this building today is because of him. Will we remember the things that he's done for us? Will we remember who he is? His faithfulness, his strength, his goodness and his grace. All these things, all these aspects of who God is. Will we remember those things? So let's go back to the beginning. Did it say that in the song this morning? That's so awesome. Oh my gosh. When we go back and look at the beginning of this Exodus moment, okay, this beginning of the Exodus, and we see that God has done some incredible things for Israel. He's taken them out of Egypt. They were in slavery, horrible situation, horrible living conditions, being beaten and worked all day, every day. Horrible situation that they're in. And God brought them, graciously brought them out of that. He saved them from their slavery. He saved us from our bondage and our slavery. He saved us from the bondages of sin. He's freed us from the chains that have bound us. In Exodus 13, in verse 17, we're going back a little bit. Then it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go that God did not lead them by way of the land of the Philistines, although that way was near. For God said, lest perhaps the people change their mind when they see war and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up in orderly ranks out of the land of Egypt. So there are a couple things here. First of all, God spared them from going in. So they're going out of Egypt, and God's like, listen, I'm going to take and actually pre-plan their way, but it's not going to be the shortest way. It's not going to be the short route that they take. It'll be the long way around. But this short way, it might seem so easy to get to the promised land from this direction and going this route. But the problem is the Philistines are there, and it's too close to Egypt and the promised land. They will go straight to the Philistines. They'll get scared, and they'll turn around and run back to their slavery. So he says, I'm going to lead them the long way around. Anybody get frustrated sometimes? You feel like, God, why are you leading me this long way around? Why are you? I mean, I saw a shorter path. But see, the funny thing is that the people didn't know what he had saved them from. This is one of those miracles. They saw the plagues. They saw the things that he did in Egypt whenever they were slaves, and he brought them out of that. But they didn't even see this. They didn't even know what he saved them from. But he leads them around a longer way. He says, I don't want them to turn around when they face adversity, when they face what seems to be, and I emphasize seems to be, insurmountable odds. Because sometimes those things seem to be insurmountable to us. But God, right? But to God, there is nothing. God knows when we're ready for battle. God knows when we're ready to fight. He knows when we're ready to walk through something. See, will we understand and know that he leads us with his grace and his kindness? He's not some mean God. So many times I've even heard, why is he so just, it's like he's trying to play with me and making me go through this stuff. And I would just say to you, do you know if you went the other way, what would have happened? Because they didn't know. And God saved them. He could have taken care of the Philistines right in that moment. He could have done what only God does and uses a people that's not ready to defeat an army. He could have done that. But he decided not to. Why is that? Does anybody think, why? Why didn't he just do that? But what I believe is that he knew that if he did that thing, that incredible miracle of taking them out of Egypt and then walking them straight to the Philistines, and all of a sudden the Philistines just fall over, that the army is just giant and they just start falling and dying right in front of their faces, because it wouldn't have been them. That they might have gotten a big head about it, because that happens sometimes. In Exodus 14, it says, for Pharaoh, this is what happened when God led them the different way. Now he leads them a different way, but what happens is they go straight to a place that's blocked by a sea. You're like, God, you led me the long way around, and this way has its obstacles too. This way has things that I don't feel like I can make it past. But what is God doing? For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are bewildered by the land. The wilderness has closed them in. Then I will harden Pharaoh's heart so that he will pursue them. And I will gain honor over Pharaoh and over all his army, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. You see what God's doing here? He says, I will follow, or I will harden Pharaoh's heart. He will look out and see the Israelites and say, oh, look, they're probably worn down in the wilderness. They haven't gotten very far. They got to this place where there's a sea in front of them. And he'll chase after. But what will happen in this moment is that I will show my strength and my power, and I will get the honor and the glory that they may know that I... See, God is trying to get into the minds of the people that he is the one that should deserve the honor and the glory. That he is the one that has brought us out of Egypt. That he is the one that will sustain us. That he is the one that will part the sea. See, the aim of this whole conflict, this whole story, is to reveal the glory of God and the strength of God and who he is. That his power would be known. That it wouldn't fall back on Moses, on the Israelites, maybe some of their strong men, but the glory would go to him. See, sometimes in our life, I feel like we take the things that God has done for us for granted. That we take these miracles, we take this provision and these wonderful things that God has done for us, and we take them for granted. We forget that he is the reason that we are here. They get to the sea. The people are freaking out. We're never like this, right? I mean, I'm not. You're probably not like this, right? Where all of a sudden you have this moment where you're so excited because you've broken free from something that's been holding you back, that God has done this miraculous thing in your life. And so now, oh, look, I'm walking forward. God set me free. And I go a couple of steps, and then you see something right in front of you that says, you're not very far, and you're not going to get very far. And this is where the people are at. They're saying, why have you brought us out here? Only to die. Why have you, like, you've brought us out of Egypt and now we're stuck and they're going to come after us and kill us. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. It's hard to do. right? Whenever things start happening, whenever things feel tough or pressure's coming on all the sides and you're getting real anxious. I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it through this or what's going to happen tomorrow, or this is a thing that's coming to attack me and I can't move forward because this thing's standing before me. And God says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. What does that mean? It means you don't do it. It means that nothing that you can do with your own hands is going to save you anyways. So why don't you just trust God in this moment and see the salvation of the Lord? And do you know what God does? Let me read the rest of that scripture before I go on. See the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Wow. Hold on to your peace. Stand still and hold on to peace. That is so hard. It's real hard. I don't think you guys think it's hard because I'm up here saying it's so hard and you're just like, I don't know. Like whenever stuff is happening, to say, God, I'm not going to run around like a chicken with his head cut off, because that's what we all look like when we start running around trying to fix things ourselves. I'm not going to start running around, but I'm going to stand firm in you, and I'm going to hold on to the peace that passes all understanding. I'm going to hold on to the peace that only you can give, God. I'm going to hold on to you. And what happened? What happened? In this moment, they decided that they were going to trust God. And all of a sudden, God splits the sea and they walk through it. This isn't actually my main point, so I'm going to just fly right through this, but even though it's huge. But God splits the sea. They walk through on dry land, all of them. It took a long time. And God says, you know what? I'm not just going to get you through this moment that looked like an obstacle, but I'm also going to crush the enemy in the meantime. I'm going to crush the enemy so that you're not going to even see them any longer behind you. So they walk through, and after they get through, they turn around, and the sea comes back on the army behind them. Utterly destroyed because of who God is. In Exodus 15:2, it says, they sang a song. They were having a party. Look at this. I am just leading up to what I really want to talk to. So hope you guys are ready. They're having a party. They're singing. They're dancing. It's just so exciting. It says, the Lord is my strength and my song, and he has become my salvation. This is my God, and I will praise him, my Father's God, and I will exalt him. They showed up. They had a party. They're just giving God all the glory and all the praise, and everything belongs to him, and he saved us. It is so good. It's all awesome for the moment. But see, something happens in this people. And something happens in us. And it's that we forget sometimes the wonderful and gracious things that God has done for us. We forget the salvation of the Lord. You know, you're like, I don't forget. I'm saved. No, you forget that you are alive because he has done thing after thing after thing to save you from yourself and to save you from other people over and over and over again in your life. We tend to forget. And I'll say, I forget sometimes. You don't have to say it. I'll say it for us. We forget. So will we remember? Because what happens? They sang, they danced. But even with all this, they forgot, ultimately, the strength of God in their lives. They get a little bit down the road. They're in the wilderness, you know, the long way around. Hey, we don't have anything to eat. We want meat. Give me a steak. I want good food. Oh, my sandals are wearing out. My feet got blisters. Help. Why has God brought us? And they start complaining and they forget who God is and what he's doing in their lives. What does God do? He provides for them. He provides manna. He provides food that will sustain them for 40 years. And you know what? They complained about that. They complained about it. Moses, who died and made you boss? Why are you in charge? Where's my steak dinner? Why are we out in the wilderness? It's almost like they're one of those kids that won't move out of the house, you know? They forget all that's being done for them. Say 40 years, you know? You're 40 years old! I give you food, I buy you clothes, you got a roof over your head, you're alive. I feel like that's what God just wanted to say. I'm just going to speak it for God right now to these Israelites. You're alive because I'm with you. You remember. Will you remember? See, they made it to the promised land and forgot the parting of the sea. They forgot the army being swallowed up by the sea. They forgot that God had sustained this people in a barren land for 40 years. Now think about this. God providing, not only at the beginning and showing his mighty hand, but providing daily for them and being there with them every single moment of the way, leading them with a cloud and a pillar of fire. And they get to the promised land right in front of it and forget all those things. Will we remember? Because God's gotten us through. He's gotten us through a lot of things. I know for me, there's been many, many circumstances where I can say that I shouldn't be where I'm standing today. I shouldn't be alive. I've told some of these stories, but I've almost drowned like 3 or 4 times. I still love the water. I always say that because some of my family don't really like the water. And I'm like, let's go. I love the water. But I've almost drowned. From when I was a little kid to whenever I was growing up, and I was just dumb, and I was playing in waves that were too big for me to play in. But God has sustained me. And he's done the same for each and every one of us. He's brought us to where we are today and taken care of us. And so many times, I even think about the Israelites and think that, what about the thing that he saved them from that they didn't even see it. They didn't even really know it. That he saved them from going up against the Philistines right away and either dying or turning back and going into slavery. How many things have we not seen that God has done? How many things that are unseen in our lives where God has sustained us? And not only this, with the manna, you know, interesting thing about the manna. It's God's provision. God's provision. That they couldn't keep it and save it for later because God set up that it would spoil if they tried to hoard it and collect too much than what they needed for each day. He said, I'm going to provide for you every single day. I'm going to be there with you every single day. You won't need to store up what I am doing this day for the next because I'm still going to be there that next day. But also, God said, I want you to take a jar of this manna. And I want you to collect it, and I want you to hold on to it for generations, and so that generations after can see how God provided for his people. So all of a sudden, look, I'm gonna make a point with this. So all of a sudden, the provision and the manna that God told them to collect, to keep, it didn't spoil ever. It didn't go bad. And the point I want to make with this is that God's provision doesn't spoil or go bad unless he wants it to. Can we trust that when God is doing something in our lives and we can't see what he's doing, we can't make sense of what's happening, or sometimes it even looks like it didn't last long enough, that God's provision doesn't go bad unless he wants it to. Sometimes, actually many times, he wants us to trust him the next day and not hold on to yesterday's provision. We need to remember. Do you remember what he's done? See, because the Israelites, they didn't remember the strength of their God. Do we remember what he's done in our family, what he's done in our lives, how he's sustained us, how he's taken care of us, who he is, that he's the God that parts the seas, that he's the God that takes over armies, he's the God that uses those that shouldn't be seemingly used? Why does he like to use the ones that don't seem like they're strong enough, that don't seem like they have it all together? Luckily, he does that because I feel like I just don't have it together. I don't know about you. I feel like, God, I just need your help every day. But what happens when God steps into your life? And I will tell you, it's that God takes your mess and makes it into something beautiful. He takes your mess and sculpts it into something great that will give honor and glory to him. Will we remember what he's done? My last point. And I believe what God is really trying to speak out of this whole story of Israel and this moment and saving them, bringing them through the sea, having them trust him in the wilderness. And then they get to the end. I mean, I don't know about you. But after all that time and all that God had done, and they get to the edge of the promised land, and they see people that are bigger and stronger, and they say, oh my gosh, we can't go in. Because they don't remember who God is. They don't remember what he's done for them. What happens when you remember? Well, you got Joshua and Caleb that say, look, they say, there's big guys over there, but my God is bigger. There's big guys over there, but I remember God bringing the sea on the Egyptian army. There's big guys over there, but I remember God sending the plagues to get us out of Egypt. There's big guys over there, but I remember that my God is so big that he has sustained us for 40 years. That he's given us provision daily to keep us alive. There's big guys over there. But with God, there's not anything that's impossible. Will we remember? Will you stand with me?
Thanks for listening today. We pray this message encourages you. If you have any questions or you'd like to learn more about us as a church, you can always visit us online by going to lifechurchstl.com.